morning. Good thing I'm far away from you. Hallelujah. Well, good morning. If you weren't here in the beginning when I introduced myself, my name's Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's another Sunday that's my pleasure and my honor to bring God's Word to you today. So I hope you came expecting. Amen? Did you come expecting? Who needs an intervention in their life by the presence and the power of God? Raise your hand. I need an intervention, God. May we have an intervention today. Intervene in our situations. Intervene in our minds. Intervene in our hearts. Intervene in everything that we do, God. We need you to intervene. Amen. Intervention, Father. Well, here we are, last day of September. We've had a wonderful theme here at First Open Bible, serve. It's been a great month and a great theme. After the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, the rest of the Bible has one major theme besides redemption. It is servanthood. Mark 10:45 says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's me. Is that you? He gave his life. Do you realize when he took the nails and the whips, and he picked up that cross and he carried it up a hill, he literally was thinking of you. He knew that you'd live at this time, and he knew that those things that you would do, and he even knows the things that you're going to do, and he still chose to carry that cross. He still chose to willingly lay down. He could have called all the angels he wanted to and just did whatever he wanted to, but he willingly died on the cross. He willingly took those nails because he thought of you. He thought of me. I want to do a recap of the last 4 weeks. Week one was this, fruit. We just got a tongue interpretation. Fruit. A healthy plant produces fruit. God never gives us something just for us. See, the fruit we produce in our lives is to serve others and not serve ourselves. I've never seen a tree eat its own fruit. Have you? It should bring glory and praise to God. As you give your life away, you will find it. We were created to give away our fruit that we produce. John 15, verse 16 says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." This is Jesus. "I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name." Week two, authentic and genuine. God wants us to be real, authentic, and genuine servants of His. We are not to wait until later. He's calling us now to be what we are called to be. He is God, and we are not. He is the master, and we are His servants. We should never expect God to serve us. We should never expect God to serve us. Listen, that's got to change some mindsets in America church right there. Just think about that. We should never expect God to serve us, but we do. "God, I've done this and I've done that. God, don't you know I laid down my life? Don't you know I left my everything I know and I've went and followed you? I deserve something." No, you don't. You're the servant. He's the master. We're called to serve the master, and the master always, church, can you say always, comes first. To serve means giving up my own will, my own life, and laying it aside in order to serve God and to serve others. And you're supposed to do that selflessly and genuinely. Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12 says, "The greatest among you must be a servant. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Week three, humility. It's 2 weeks ago. God did not save us to sit. God saved us to serve. Got one amen out of that. You're like, should I stand right now? No. Why do I say that? Because that's an honor. That's an honor to serve the kingdom. See, in the kingdom of God, the higher you go, the lower you must be. A servant in God's kingdom is one that invests themselves into the lives of people. Servants don't come to church only to eat. They come to wash feet. In this life, do we choose for others to serve us, or we choose to serve others? We are to love one another in humility, and we do that by being God's servants to God's people. John 13, 34 and 35 says this, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Last week, week number 4, it's Missionary Sunday. Some of the greatest servants on earth are missionaries. Amen? We got a good group of people, I see some highlighters still in here, that are going tomorrow to be a short-term missionary. Pastor Mike's overall message to us last week was, even though I have hard times while I'm here on earth, even though I face challenges here on earth, even if I have things that go on in my life, I will lay down worldly pleasures, or I'll even lay down my own rights, because I have to think eternally, and I must serve eternally. In the perspective of the rope of life, our life here is tiny compared to eternity. Remember that rope he held up? He said, this is about your life. And then the rope is 100 feet long. Every decision, all our mindsets, our heartbeats, our choices, and our attitudes should point to servanthood that blesses eternity. Here's the question. What are you willing to give up for eternity? What are you willing to give up for eternity? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Hallelujah to that, amen? Yet they produce for us glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. So we've seen an incredible progression, amen, in the last 4 weeks for this month's theme, serve. I look back at each weekly message God has given us, and I'm reminded yet again, church, God is sovereign. I'm reminded that God always has a plan, always. That He always has a purpose and a plan in what He does and what He says. So I ask the Lord, what is it that you want us to do to wrap up this series? He made it simple for me, and He made it clear. I now know what God has been saying to us all along. Although it did take me a few weeks. Sometimes that happens, amen? God would be screaming at us, and we're just like, huh? I just don't get it. Don't feel bad. Look at the disciples. They walk with Jesus, and they still didn't get it. They really didn't get it until actually when He died and came back. Then they started going, oh, wow, He is the Son of God. What He said is true. I guess I do need to do something for the kingdom. I guess all those things we were taught are real. See, I truly believe that everyone has a call on your life. If you have a call on your life, will you raise your hand and say, that's me. 3 people. Let's try that again, church. If you have a call on your life, raise your hand and say, that's me. There you go. Every single person, no matter how great or how small, no matter your age, no matter your sex, no matter your background, no matter your qualifications, you are called by God to serve His kingdom. You have a home here at First Open Bible, and there's a purpose to serve here as well. Jesus served, so will we. Jesus served, so will we. Jesus served, so will we. God's clear message to me this morning was this. James 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. God said to me, it's time to put our faith into practice. See, faith that does is faith that lives. James 2:17 says the opposite. See, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it's dead. See, that's why, church, it doesn't really matter what goes on here today to the world, unless you go and take it to the world. You understand? Time's short. Wash feet. Time's short. Wash feet. Time's short. Get on your knees. Wash feet. Love one another by serving one another. So if you call this church your home, you should serve here. If you call this church your home, you should serve here. Everyone should. And everyone should not look the same or do the same things. But everyone should do something. So I asked the Lord, why isn't everyone in our church getting involved? He gave me two things. Number one, they don't want to. Or they don't know the needs. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. God brings the revelation. But me, as your pastor, I'm called to lead you. I haven't done a great job leading by casting vision. I haven't done a good job for you, church. I'm putting in front of your hearts the needs of our church, the opportunities to serve, and the vision and why we do what we do. Please forgive me. Thankful none of you have passed away, because that would be heavy on me, because I didn't give you an opportunity. Habakkuk 2:2 says this, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Why? So you can run. So you can grab it and you can run with it. One of the most important jobs as a shepherd is to cast vision. What does that mean? It means to lead the flock into the next pasture. That's what that means. What is vision? I'm glad you asked. Vision is what we see, but it is also the way in which you see. Vision is the lens that interprets the events of life. You know what I'm talking about. You know that person that's always negative, right? It doesn't matter what happens in life. Oh, you won the lottery and you didn't even play? That's crazy. Yeah, I know, but now I gotta pay taxes. You know that negative person all the time, right? All the time. Oh, wow, you're healed. Yeah, I was healed, but I'm still short. What? I mean, that person, right? See, they need a new vision. Everything they see is through these glasses that needs, you need new glasses. You need a new vision. Vision is the lens that interprets every event of your life. The way we view people and the way we view God. So if you follow Jesus and catch his heart, you're going to catch the vision. Church, that's going to last forever. Why? Because the vision that you catch motivates from within. If you want anything in your life, read God's word and ask him to change your heart. You don't have to look different on the outside. God works on the inside, and then you start to look different on the outside. That's how that works. That's how that works. You come in smelling like smoke. You come in half drunk. You come in drugged up. You come in with all the problems that you have. You come in hurting people. You come in with all that anger. You come in with that gossip. You come in with all that pain. And you say, God, I need you to change my heart. I'm done with this. I am dirty from the outside. Clean me from the inside. Change me. Motivate me. Burn something in me. Burn that junk out of me, God. I got to be different. I must look like you. This isn't working for me. I need a new vision. See, we got to see the world in which way, the way God intended the world to look to us. The world's broken. It's hurting. It's evil. And Jesus died for it. Jesus served it. Because he had the right vision, church. We have to take off our temporal glasses, just seeing what's in front of you, and put on some eternal glasses. So how do you live counterculture but still live for the culture? How do you live counter to the world but still for the world? How do you know that you live in heavenly places but you're still up here on earth? You serve. That's what you do. So, our vision here at First Open Bible is this. It's the 3G method. Grounded in the Word of God. Grounded in the Word of God. That's number one. Grounded in the Word of God. You got a Bible? Will you raise it up? Will you say something? This is my sword. Devil. Take this. Fwah. There you go. There you go. You laugh, but he heard it. So open it up and use it. How do you sharpen your sword? You open it up. The more tattered your Bible looks, the sharper your sword is. Come on now. The more you read God's word, the sharper you are. Number two, growing in discipleship. Get plugged in, church. I see a lot of you on Sunday morning, but I don't see you Wednesday. That's our discipleship day. Every single Wednesday, we pour in. It's teaching time. You can make it Wednesday, 6:30, right here. We'd love to have you. Every 4 to 6 weeks, we change something up. So if you don't like it, so what? Come anyway. It's going to change in 4 to 6 weeks anyway. You think God gives you stuff you always like? No, he doesn't. Quit being so American. Be more godly, right? Right? Sometimes you got to do stuff you don't like, right? I started running 2 weeks ago. I like running, but my body doesn't. Who's clapping? This guy. All right. You owe me a belt when I get skinny. Okay. You only grow when you're stretched. You only grow when it hurts, church. You grow in the valley, not the mountains. Come on now. Grow in discipleship. Get plugged in. Women's ministry, men's ministry, Wednesday night, Sunday night. Get plugged in. Bible studies. Get plugged in with other stuff. You don't know what's going on? Call the church. Figure it out. We'd love to have you. And number three, because I am an evangelist at heart. It's my favorite. Go and serve. Amen. Get out of the tub before you get wrinkly. All right, anyway. Get to going. So our Bible's verse, or our church's verse, our vision verse out of the Bible is this, out of Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You might have heard it before. It's the Great Commission. See, I know other churches have different verses, but we haven't fulfilled the first one Jesus gave us, so let's just stick to it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, Jesus, to the very end of the age. Right, we should just wrap this up and go to the neighbors right now. Right? I'm telling you, that's going to happen. Right? So, make sure you wear closed toes in case it happens when it's cold. Right? See, we're called to know Jesus and to follow Jesus and to imitate Jesus. If that's true, will you say amen? Amen. It doesn't matter who you are and it doesn't matter where you've come from. Follow Jesus, do what Jesus did, serve. So there's people watching us all the time. We're leading all the time. And others are learning from us. We're discipling with our actions. Do the ones around you see what it means to serve? Men, I'm challenging this. I'll start doing it better. You open doors for women? You open doors for children, elderly? Do you open doors for other men? Do you get there first and just walk through because you're in a hurry? Is this about you? Because you can't take 10 seconds in your life and serve somebody? You walk over trash every single day. Oh, there's something right there. Could you pick it up? Could you throw it away? That's for men and women. There's easy and little things that we can do to serve and people notice it. You know why I love the Midwest? It ain't the white demon. Snow. That's snow. That's called the white demon. Right? He's coming soon. Right? And on the 26th of December, him and Santa can go. Get. You know what I like about the Midwest the most? You know why I'm thankful I live here? I'm thankful God called me here because I was born and raised in Oregon. Go Ducks. Sorry. That guy's never been there before. Called. Thanks for asking. God called me here to Iowa. God called me to you. That's what I'm doing here. That wasn't a plant, by the way. That wasn't a plant. Matt Wagner, meet me afterwards. I'll talk to you. The reason why I like the Midwest is the people. Because you still have morals here. You still love God here. You still come to church here. You still open doors for people here. I'm telling you, travel, open a door for somebody. They'll be, you're not from here, are you? No, I'm not. I'm not from here. But that guy should open the door for you, but I will. Serve, church, serve. Disciple with your actions. The ones around you are watching. See, one of the reasons why it's hard to find anyone these days with a servanthood mentality. See, we're a little different in the Midwest. I'm telling you, go to the West Coast, go to the East Coast. A little different. Even parts of the South. Florida, specifically. Just joking. He just moved here from Florida. That was fun. Okay. Anyone, I'm just playing, Florida friends. Anyone these days is hard to find servant mentality is because Christians have done a poor job modeling it. For this generation and the next generation, my son's got to see me open the door for my wife. I got to do better at that. He's got to see it. He's got to see me walk through, my daughter too, walk through an aisle and see somebody maybe in a wheelchair, somebody struggling to grab something, and because I'm tall, do you need some help? I can help you. Yeah, I got to be somewhere in 5 minutes, but they'll be fine if I help this person. It's okay. It's okay. The world will not fall apart if you're late to something because you serve somebody. See, personally, I have a wife. Two children, a family, a church staff, and a church to lead. Eyes are on me all the time. People are more interested in what I do. I always don't do a good job than what I say. It goes for you as well. They're more interested in what you do, not what you say. Good, you went to church on Sunday morning, but how are you loving me right now? See, we've been taught in our American culture that everyone lives in our own little kingdom. I'm the king, serve me. You're the queen, serve me, right? But the truth is, we live, love, and serve the kingdom of God. He is the master, he is the king, and we are not. Sometimes we forget this. If there's anything you take today from this sermon, I want you to write down Matthew 25:40. Sometimes we forget that when we serve other people, we're actually serving God Himself. When you open that door, when you love on the kids downstairs, when you pick up trash, when you clean up, when you paint, when you volunteer, when you do these things, you do it for God Himself. Matthew 25:40 says this, "And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me." So the only attaboy that we need to hear is from our master, serving our king. We must progress from serving for recognition to serving in submission. All right, so pastor, what am I supposed to do? What am I specifically supposed to do? I don't know. But that's not my job to know. It's the job of the Holy Ghost as He speaks to your heart. See, my job as a shepherd is this, to equip the church, to help build up the church, to do the works of the ministry, and to make the vision plain for you. Amen? Ushers, I have something to hand out to you today, and you can also follow along with behind me. I want to show you some things that we have going on here at church right now. The ushers are going to hand one out to each and every person in here today. It's going to follow along. Let's go ahead and go to the first slide, please. Children's director, Miss Abby, you're not in here this morning, are you? I think she's working downstairs. Okay. Miss Abby is our children's director. And we have some opportunities right now to get plugged in. First off, qualifications are this. You have to be 18 years or older and pass a background check. All teachers and or helpers, you're on a rotating schedule. You have to be here 6 months or longer. That's a rule that we've had here for a long, long time. If you want to get plugged into a leadership role, you have to be here 6 months or longer. Number one is nursery. All the babies till 2 years old. We have Sunday morning. Right now there's people in there serving so we can be in here. My daughter's in there right now so I can preach to you today. Sunday PM, we have a night service tonight, 6:30. We need helpers. Wednesday night PM service. All right, there's Sunday Children's Church. Children's Church is going on right now. When we pray for the kids to go, they go downstairs and they go to church. And we have church up here. The ages for them are 3 years old all the way through fifth grade. That's during our Sunday service right now. Then we have Wednesday night Children's Church. That's 3 years old through fifth grade. And that's during the PM service. And I want to remind you, it's on a rotation. What are you willing to give up for eternity? It's not like you're going to never come back to church. It's not like you're never going to be on a Wednesday night again. You're on a rotation. We need helpers and we need teachers. Amen? All right, let's go to the next slide, please. Church office. All right, will you go to the missions and outreach one real quick? Next one. Thank you. All right, Dave Wagner, are you here? Will you please stand, please? Stand up, wave. That is Dave Wagner. Will you give him a hand, please? He's our missions and outreach director. What do we have? We have a food pantry. We have pickups every week. And Thursdays is distribution day. We have outreaches all the time at this church. That is my heartbeat. I love outreaches because I don't want to be a country club. I don't know about you. We got to go into the world. We got to serve the world from what we do. So here's the next three that are coming up. We have a coat and blanket giveaway coming up. Thanksgiving Day. On Thanksgiving Day, we feed many, many people here in our fellowship hall. And then on Christmas Day, we do the exact same thing. Those are our next three, but we have them every 2 to 3 months. We have something going on. Mission of Hope. It's another opportunity that we get plugged in with. If you have any questions or need anything, the reason why I asked is Dave Wagner for this section will be here after church. He can meet you in the foyer if you have any questions or you want to just connect with him and say, I'm going to pray about this. That'd be wonderful. We have a church sign out there. It doesn't get done by itself, right? Be awesome for somebody to come and help with that. Then we have missions trips. There's one starting tomorrow, right? And these are great opportunities to serve. All right, let's go to the last slide. This is the church office. There's a phone number there to give us a call. Monday through Friday, 9 to 4, we're in the church office. Give us a call. We can give you some information. So, prayer. Everybody in here, you're going, oh, man, I can't serve there. First off, don't say can't. My dad used to say that there's no such thing as can't. It's either you will or you won't. There's no such thing as can't, right? You're either capable or you're not capable, or you're willing or you're not willing. Prayer. Every Christian can pray. Every Christian must pray. It's in the Bible. It tells us to. I mean, even to the point where it says pray without ceasing, right? So always be praying. Always be connected to God. Always bring stuff to Him. So there's three opportunities. I only have two up there because I thought of one this morning. We have noontime prayer. It's for 1 hour. It starts at noon. That's why it's called noontime prayer. Very clever. I know. Thank you. Monday through Friday, it's in our prayer room right over here. We call it our war room. There's access from outside. You can come in, and we have a leader there every single day, a different leader there to pray. And then God gives me a heart and a vision of what to pray for a month. I write something out, give it to them, and they pray about that and a whole bunch of other stuff for a whole hour each and every day. Then Saturday night, we have prayer in here at 6:30. Please come out and join us here to pray. And then also, is anybody, raise your hand if you're on the prayer chain email. Okay? Just a few. What is that? John Cooper, here's the most, just had surgery and had an infection and had to have surgery. We put it out last night. So each and every person that gets that email will pray right then when they get the email. Your job is to pray. And we have needs in our church. And we have an opportunity. There's HIPAA laws. We can't come up here and tell you everything that's going on because someone can sue the church. Then there's been churches that have closed down because of that. So we have a prayer chain email. And what you do is you go in and you sign saying, I will not, you know, spread this out, but I will pray. I will pray for this. So if you want to get in on that, you call the office or email the office your email and say, please add me to the prayer chain email. At least one time every week, we have needs that the whole church is praying for. A lot of times, anything you're going through that you ask us, we put it on that email so you can pray. All right, our facilities. Cleaning. We always need cleaners. Amen? Sanctuary attendant. If you look in front of you, unless you're in the front row, you have to look behind you. There are little baby pencils. There's little pieces of paper. There's trash that's left every single Sunday, right? And then we need people to come and help us fill that. We had our last cleaning day, and I spent 2 hours by myself cleaning and putting those things in there. If we got two people, we could do that in an hour, right? Or you could probably do it in 45 minutes because I was probably slow talking to people or whatever. So we need people like that that would help attend the sanctuary. Painting. Building repair, parsonage maintenance. We have two parsonages that we own. And if you're handy, we sometimes need help fixing stuff. Mowing, trimming, leaf pickup, right? Who on earth likes to rake leaves? There's something wrong with that, right? Some people raising their hand. I'm praying for you tonight. No, if you like it and you raise your hand, you just volunteered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Right? Okay, so in our office, photography. Every event that we have, we need pictures, right? A lot of times it's my wife or it's Sherry, who's our secretary, taking pictures. Then they can't get plugged in or can't get involved. So it'd be awesome that you could come and say, you know what, I like taking pictures and I'm pretty good at it. Well, cool, let's try you out, see if that's something you can do and help us in events or things that we do, outreaches and stuff like that. Database upkeep, data entry. Event teams, set up, tear down. Let me tell you, I don't know how many times I had to take off my coat because we don't have a set up and tear down team. And I'm sweating in a tie, and it would be so awesome if I could sweat less, right? I'm still willing to help, but it'd be great to get people to help tear down, set up. it's an easy thing to do if we have multiple people. Jerry Fagerland, will you stand, please? He's right there. Will you give him a hand? He's a licensed minister. This is a new thing that we just started here at church. And it's called Home Free Ministries. It's been going on in his life for 16 years. And here's what it is. You minister to the elderly in senior care centers and assisted living places. You have to sign a code of conduct. You have to be here at least 6 months or longer. But he can give you that information if you have any wants to do that. What do? Worship and music. Bible studies. They go through an alpha course. They meet the needs of people. Because guess what? Everyone's important. Amen? If you have breath in your lungs, you should be ministered to. It doesn't matter if you're a baby or if you're 90-some years old, right? And there's an opportunity with him 3 days a week to do that. So those are some of the things that are going on at church right now. So I want to ask you a question. See, it's your job now to ask, to submit, and then to serve the Lord. I want to encourage you to try. I know there's a lot of things spinning right now. I want to encourage you to try. The worst thing you can do, church, is not try. The worst thing you can do is not try. What would it hurt to try? See, here's the worst thing. You're not going to be locked into anything. Give it a try. If it doesn't work out, it's not in your gift mix, give it a full section. There's been people in here today that have gone with Miss Abby downstairs and said, I'm going to help 1 month. They went and helped and said, I can't do this. I value my salvation, right? These kids want to live, right? They just won't stop. You know what I mean? This isn't in my gift mix. But they tried, and they gave it a go, and then they're willing to go and try something else. Give God a chance. Give God a chance. A chance to work in you, right? We always ask God, work in me. But we have to start praying, God, work through me by serving his local church. This is not my church. I'm stewarding it right now. I'm the pastor of this church, but this is God's church. It always has been, all 76 years. Just a different steward, different leader. But this is God's church. You're serving him. So partner with me. Let me lead you. Let me stretch you. Let me challenge you. Then let God get all the glory as we serve his kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 says this as we start to wrap up. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have a gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have a gift to help others? Do it with all of your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory, all power to him forever and ever and ever. Amen. So here's my question. Did Brent just walk up? Okay, good. Sneaky. Brent, can you please come up? Hallelujah. God answers prayers. Hallelujah. Church, we're going to listen to a song here in a moment. We're going to lower the lights and listen to a song real quick. And I want to challenge you this. What are you willing to give up for eternity? What are you willing to give up for eternity? What is God saying to try and serve? You have a paper in front of you, and you have a baby little pencil that hopefully is sharpened in front of you. If not, you ask your neighbor, who has a very large purse, to hand you one of their many, many pencils or pens. Yeah, just no food, no food in the sanctuary. Whatever's in there. Will you ask the Lord right now? I want you to search your heart. Ask God, search my heart. How can I get plugged in? What are you calling me to do? And guess what? When you pray, you come to one of our prayer meetings, or you say, you know what, I'm at work, but I do have lunch at noon. I'm willing to join you in prayer even though I'm not there. Whatever it is, ask God, because all of us must do something. And when all of us do something, God is going to move. There's no question. God's not a God that likes to stay still. He's not a God that maintains. He's a God that moves. We're going to move with Him. So, what can you give up for eternity? I want you to listen to this song, and then Brent's going to play right after it. And I just want you to search your heart. And if God gives you something, write it down, circle it, and I want you to take it with you. Take it with you, and I want you to pray tonight. And then I'm expecting, Sherry, that we're going to get lots of calls tomorrow, emails, things like that, that God wants people to get involved. Even if it's, I don't know exactly what to do, what is your greatest need? We had somebody call us a couple weeks ago, months ago, right? She's a sweet, cute lady, and she's sitting right over there, and I'm looking right at her. She said, how can I help? Every single Friday, her and her husband drive. They pick up the bulletins, they fold them, put the insert in, bring them back. Do you realize, for Miss Sherry, that saves her at least an hour, right? And she doesn't do it for us. She does it for God. Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, church. God transforms us. He works in us so He can work through us. Listen to this song.
Let it be pleasing in your